A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Has the status quo something you've always pushed against?
Almost always. I'm known for being a insert expletive disturber.
Nice. I like it. I can relate to that, like shaking things up. I've had a similar mindset, just always trying to think outside the box a little bit. To take it back a bit, what were some of the adversities and struggles you had in your youth?
Oh, well, so I'm born to a drug-addicted teenage mother who was exceptionally abusive to me. So physically abused, pushed upstairs, downstairs, you name it, to carelessness, a cigarette, you know, in my eye kind of thing. I'm fortunate, however, that although in and out of the child welfare system, I was adopted. So loving family, my mom in particular, although lower socioeconomic status. So I think the result of both the biology and also just circumstances growing up gave me this mindset that I was going to be better than the biology or the circumstance. It's what pushed me to start working at age 11. I moved into even a leadership role by the time I was 14. But I've also had a ton of other adversity. I was raped in my teenage years. First marriage, my ex developed cancer while I was pregnant with our second daughter, divorce, she passed away later. Even in the last probably year and a bit between a horrible accident for myself, my husband's back surgery before that, all of these things have really taught me about resilience. And the early years I describe as being my why in terms of what's caused me to be so absolutely driven and look for better workplaces and communities in the world at large than I had first experienced.
Wow, that's quite a relentless journey. Just no replacement for the resilience that comes with that type of adversity. In terms of the workforce, like I've experienced quite a few companies where I've seen sort of toxic cultures develop, and I think people just like to be heard and. Essentially, it's always about the people, like regardless of whatever industry it's been. When I've left, I've always said the people are the greatest asset to a company. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think and when we think about why we choose to work in the places we do, or I should say maybe more like why people leave companies, and it's important to note that they do leave the company. As the people in it, in particular, their leader versus just the company and its brand holistically. And so I think even over these last couple of years, our desire to work for and with people that are, you know, either much more aligned to our values. We're all committed to the same purpose or mission. We want to have, you know, a type of impact in the workplace. And so I think that's really important. And so a lot more of the shift I've seen over the last number of years has been working on the, and I don't like the phrase soft skills, but working on the non, let's say, technical or functional skills in terms of how we lead. That's become much, much more important.
So are you, have you been looking at and developing like a much more integrative approach within companies and within leadership? Call it integrative, like a more holistic environment?
Yeah, I actually have a trademark sort of phrase, and actually I'm writing a book on it now. It should come out next year around what I refer to as whole human leadership. And so that is, it's important to say that they're operating in this way, this whole human way, which for me is the connective tissue between, you know, how we lead the management side of the job with how we show up for our people. Are we authentic? In my case, vulnerable. So I shared with you and the listeners my story in adversity. I never would have told that story the first probably 10 years in the corporate world, because I was afraid to be vulnerable and show emotions and that I was different. But it is showing up in that very different way. The combination of head versus heart. When I talk to C-suite executives or other senior leaders about this, I feel like they think that there's a trade-off somehow for the business performance by focusing on this kind of heart, human-centered way of leading. But the reality is doing it in this way actually drives both top and bottom line results for the business, because people are more engaged. They, you know, the retention is much higher and their productivity increases because they're happy to be here. So not only is it the right thing to do, in my opinion, in terms of the way we lead in business, but it is actually very good for business.
Yeah, I've heard that. It takes so long for us to get to that vulnerable place, but there's just such great strength in it. There was actually an Australian rules football team, and one season they were very focused on like vulnerability with each other, and they ended up winning the whole season. And it's like, it's such a contradiction to that sport, you know, where the guys are like beating each other up and everyone's like, you know, what are these big Aussie guys doing, like getting vulnerable? But they won the whole thing, and it kind of proved itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's also a tremendous amount of so in that vulnerability, there's other elements to that. That means, you know, the comfort in showing our authentic selves, talking about our lived experiences and our stories, all of these things like are what build and bridge connections with one another. And so it's hard, though, I'll say, for those who were conditioned in a very different way. I'm a Gen Xer, but certainly baby boomers and maybe some of my generation are used to a very different kind of leadership and being really stoic and showing up a certain way, as I thought I had to when I first became an executive. And it wasn't comfortable to start to lean into emotion and be vulnerable. And so for me, it took like what I refer to as strategic intentionality in these things and putting myself in positions to make me uncomfortable, that doing it time and time again, to the point now it's like, it's innate. You know, I'm talking to strangers in an elevator, right? I'm just like, it's for everyone.
Yeah. Leading into the discomfort, right? It's like, can't encourage it enough. Personal brand is a big thing you've focused on also. Sometimes I saw personal brand as like defining yourself in a nice, neatly packaged way. But since speaking to a lot of guests and so on, and really associating personal brand more with your values and your overarching things, it makes a lot more sense for me now. But for anybody who's listening who might be struggling to kind of define that, what's your advice?
I think personal brand is critically important for, I'll say, achieving our goals and objectives, but a big part of that has to do, and much of my world has been in the, you know, sort of corporate world. And when I think about, you know, personal brand, so many get it wrong, and that they only focus on kind of one element, which is foundational around brand. And that is the, you know, subject matter expertise or experience for what you're known for. So the, what do you do, or what did you go to school, or in what industry do you work? And that's where a lot of people just leave it. But the reality is there's other elements of brand. I believe there's four sort of broad buckets, if you will. And so that first, that eminence, that subject matter expertise. The next is just like you said, around sort of values. For me, this is about, this is your story. It is, which encompasses lived experiences and, you know, that you might want to share with others that again, build bridge and connection, but it is about your passion, your interest, your values. Again, that things are going to attract people to hire you, buy from you, want to work for you. People do business with people they like, trust, and want to do business with. And then, but the next thing, however, is what makes you different? So I think about, I've spent most of my career in B2B professional services, lots of consultants, lots of technologists, and there's thousands, if not millions of people who can do the same thing at different companies. So why would they hire someone to implement, you know, some technology for my team or consult on a strategy engagement with them when there's many, many others? So getting really clear around how you're different from others. And so, for example, for me, one of those is the fact that I am radically candid, one. And although it falls in both buckets in terms of my story and who I am, it's also a real differentiator around my values and doing the right thing. So I will say no to things that don't align with that. And that radical candor, like, I'm not going to tell my clients what they want to hear because that's what they're paying for. I'm going to tell them what they need to hear. And I'm going to challenge, you know, them greatly from a place of care, compassion, and wanting to help progress them or their business. So that's that, you know, that the unique value proposition slash what makes you different from others. And then the last element in brand is around what you want to be known for. What is that legacy or impact? So for me, although I've been a part of 18 mergers and acquisitions, and I'm one of my nicknames is as the turnaround team, a queen. I take distressed businesses and help fix them. But that's not going to be written on my tombstone, how much sales or revenue or profitability I've driven. I want it to be about who I was as a human, how I showed up for the companies and teams that I work for, but also more broadly within the community and the world, you know, at large. So my work around diversity and inclusion and advocacy for underrepresented groups, women and others, those are all the things that are I want to be known for. So when I show up, yes, I'm an executive. Yes, I'm a public speaker. Yes, I'm an author. But here's all the things you need to know about me that create this whole human and brand that shows up.
Yeah, when you're making decisions, how important is instinct and intuition to you in those decisions?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm a trust but verify kind of person. And so I enter situations from a place of, again, trust when I meet new people or when someone's pitching me something, but I'm also very driven by fact and data. And however, I've been in enough situations now to also recognize there was this niggly little thing back here I really should have listened to, you know, something that sat in my gut. So for me, I try and balance all of those things, fact and data and what's happened in the past with maybe feedback from others, with, you know, what information's in front of me, and always a little bit of that, you know, gut feel somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's a balancing act. I think it's not a simple listen to just one thing or the other. It's like, look at it as a whole, like you say. Yeah, it's a challenge on, it's a tradition on the show to have guests offer a challenge for listeners. Given your personal journey, your professional experience, given what we've talked about so far, is there anything that springs to mind?
The challenge I have for people is to create their own version of, I have two sort of phrases or mantras, and it's very much how I live my life. And one of them is about being unstoppable. And so that is that trauma, adversity, challenge put in front of me is not going to stop me from achieving my goals or objectives. But the other part to, you know, that word and philosophy is no excuses. And that's not that, for example, when something comes before us that created trauma or some adversity for us, that we don't feel deeply and have the emotions and feel bad in that moment. What I mean by no excuses is that we actually have a choice in terms of how we're going to choose to respond to that situation. So my challenge to, you know, your listening audience is how to build their own version, their unstoppable journey for themselves, whatever success means and how they define it for themselves, but to do that from a place of no excuses and controlling the things that you can control. And that includes how you react or respond when challenge and adversity comes your way.
No, that's awesome. Choice, real focus on choice. What's your writing process?
Oh, I'm not very good in that. I feel like, although never diagnosed with it, I probably have a little bit of ADHD. And so for me to like just sit down, hands on keyboard, and just focus for an extended period is incredibly difficult for me, because I'm hopping back, and I also like notifications are popping up and whatnot, and so I'm a bit scattered. So for me, I just need to do it in extremely small bite sized chunks.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I can relate to that. I'm finding like writing for a period of time as opposed to like hitting it. But the thing is, like, I have to write in a cafe. If I do it at home, I'm screwed. Like. But again, like what you're saying, choice, like I can choose to change that, but I've just got this thing right now where I sort of have to leave the home office to get that focus. That's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Well, I'll say one thing. I believe I've done a very good job of my personal brand. So I will just say, if they Google me, I'm going to be most of what comes up on the first probably 10 pages. However, to make it really simple, I do have a website, which people can like link out to connect with me on whatever their social media platform of choice is from there. And that is victoria-peltier.com. I'm sure it's in the show notes, so I won't spell it out.
Speaking about choice, like commitment is a big one for me. It's a big value for me. It's like, I kind of learned it through martial arts actually, but just this idea of committing to things fully, regardless of whether they work out or not.
Yeah, I agree. And related to that for me is also about accountability. So it's, yes, if you're accountable to, you're committed to a certain outcome, a project, a person, that we honor that, you know, deeply. And, but to your point, you know, you need to be committed and be all in on that. And then, with that, if it doesn't, you said you've had some that weren't successful, but you've taken accountability from it. And I think you have the opportunity to learn, so that you can then, as you choose to move forward, you know, hopefully see a different outcome.
What's your current views and advice and coaching to women in leadership?
Well, there's we're still very, very far, I will state, from having equality, whether it's looking at the Fortune 500 companies. At the beginning of this calendar year, we were a little over 10%. We've lost a few in that. So we're a little under 10% now towards the end of the year. And it's still going to take, in North America, where I am, It's going to take another 60 years to gain parity in pay, and upwards of 100 plus years in other parts of the world. So I share the data because the reality is we're very far from where we should be. And let's not even have a conversation about people of color and what some of that data looks like. So my advice, you know, to women is, first of all, pull others up as you rise within the organization, for our male allies to be aware of the women in their organizations and look to coach and mentor them, but also for the women who either are currently in leadership or aspire to be in leadership, to not be afraid. In fact, there's a study that shows that women typically won't apply for jobs unless they feel they meet like 9 or 10 out of the 10 requisites that were listed. Men typically apply at 5 or 6. And so, but for women, like, trust yourself, trust your experience, trust for the value that you bring, and ask for what you're worth. I have this saying, and now my children, my younger one in particular, is a totally down pat. You don't ask, you don't get. But that's my advice to, you know, women in business. Ask for it, go for it. And again, for our male allies to help support in recognition that we're very, very far from equity.
Yeah, those forecasts are a little alarming.
Very, very. So I try to, you know, when I go back to, you know, talking about brand and how I show up and what I want to be known for. So I spend a lot of my time advocating for women in the workplace, advocating for the LGBT community or for people of color. I recognize I'm privileged as a white woman who was born in North America, but my voice is my power. The fact that I'm a senior executive gives me an even greater platform to be out there and speaking much more vocally on how do we move the needle forward for all.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's it's a really, really awesome focus to use your call it, you know, your platform to do that. What's coming up for you in the near future?
Lots and lots of things. So I'm in career transition. I made a decision to leave the senior role that I was in a number of months ago. So I look for what my next C-suite role is going to be that's aligned with like purpose and great leaders and culture. I do a ton of public speaking. And so the calendar is filling up for next year. And I'm also really excited about two books that are coming out. One early in the new year on personal branding. And then the other coming out later in the spring on leadership, the whole human leadership and sort of this journey and even my lessons where I fell down horribly and what I, you know, could share with others to prevent that.
Finding that alignment with purpose and having that like knock on is a pretty cool place to be.
It is. And I think it's important though, for your listeners to, you know, there's times in our lives, however, when we need to make compromise. You know, you want to follow your passion, you want to follow your purpose, but you know, we have to put food on the table. And so it's also okay. I'd say for, you know, your listeners to recognize that you can have it and you can achieve it, but sometimes if you have to pivot or sidestep, that's okay too. I think, again, as long as you anchor back to ultimately what the goal is, like head down to get through the stuff you need to right now, again, with a vision or goal for future, will help tremendously. And so, yes, I'm fortunate to be able to make some of these decisions, but I recognize there were times in my life where I couldn't, and some of your listeners are not going to be able to. But don't give up on sort of that, on that aspiration either.
Yeah. The pivot and the sidestep, but staying, having a focus on that road ahead. It's pretty short, but is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to offer the listeners just in terms of if they're struggling?
I encourage one, a ton of self-reflection. So my advice would be to really spend a lot of time with yourself, you know, reflecting on whether it's the stuff that you enjoy or don't enjoy doing. So I talk about not doing things that don't bring me personal or professional joy or value. I say no, I delegate or I outsource. To your listener, reflect on what does bring you joy. Get really clear on what that is. Although I have an 80-20 rule. And so 80% of the time I need to be getting up, enjoying going into work, you know, the people that I work you know, with, there's always going to be 20%, either that one sort of jerk you don't want to work with, or it's administrative stuff you don't enjoy, but has to be done. But strive for the 80-20 would be, you know, my advice on that. Self-reflect, and also test that with people who know you well. Find someone who's radically candid, who's going to be really direct with you because they care about you and they want to see you progress and move forward.
80-20 is good, is a good, good balance there. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. In a short amount, there's some really valuable stuff there. So I really appreciate it. I'm sure the listeners will too.
Thanks for having me.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.